Valerie Plame worked for years as a covert operative in the CIA, focusing on nuclear proliferation issues. That all changed in 2003 when her husband, Joseph Wilson, wrote an opinion piece questioning the intelligence the Bush administration was using to justify a war with Iraq. An official in the administration leaked Plame's identity to a sympathetic columnist, and she resigned from the CIA, leaving that career behind. But she has continued to work on preventing the spread of nuclear weapons from her home in Santa Fe, where she and her family moved after the so-called Plame affair. Now she's taken on a new mission, convincing Twitter to remove President Donald Trump from its platform. Plame says she's concerned his tweets could spark a nuclear war. She wants to raise $1 billion to get a controlling share in the company. After 10 days, as of Saturday, August 26th, she was up to more than $76,000.
Why take the strategy that you're doing, trying to influence Twitter?
It occurred to me that Trump is weaponizing Twitter. I think it was last week John Oliver did a bit, and he said, you know, who would have imagined with the invention of Twitter that would bring us to the brink of nuclear Armageddon? And everyone laughs. But for the people who really think about this, and that's what I used to do all the time working for the CIA, this is deadly serious. When he uses such heated rhetoric and incites violence using this global platform of Twitter, I don't think people should just stand by and take it. I am very concerned about the escalating crisis with North Korea. And the idea behind this was to raise enough money on the GoFundMe site to get a seat at the table at Twitter and have the Twitter executives actually enforce their own rules, which explicitly prohibit hate speech or inciting violence. And I would posit that nuclear war is in fact violent.
You said on your page that he could start a nuclear war with his tweets. Is that a serious possibility? Why?
Because the possibility of miscalculation or accidentally stumbling into a nuclear war is ever more present, particularly on a platform like Twitter. 140 characters, really? I mean, you know how many times even in a text you misunderstand what a friend is saying. No matter how you feel about Trump, I think everyone can agree that he is impulsive. And certainly the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, is also impulsive. And so I would like to take away this possibility of miscommunication and anger that Twitter can encourage and find other better ways of resolving this crisis with North Korea.
So is your main concern around this is what the escalation that could occur between North Korea?
Yes, but nuclear issues in general. Trump has said all kinds of things pertaining to the nuclear arsenal that I find appalling. They're casual, they're spoken out of ignorance, and you just don't want the President of the United States, who has sole authority to launch our nuclear arsenal, to be anything less than completely thoughtful when it comes to this. You know, I don't care if you want Mexico to pay for the border wall. I don't care if you still want to have Confederate statues throughout the South. I don't care if you want to have full reproductive rights for women. Doesn't matter if you don't get this nuclear issue right.
Talk about things that he has said that have disturbed you.
Personally, I find the fact that our president continues to use Twitter to attack individuals. I mean, he goes after his own party just as well as anyone else. Women, minorities, you name it, providing equivocation on white supremacy, the nuclear issues with North Korea. He talked about fire and fury, locked and loaded. Fire and fury, I think, was a verbal thing he did. But in any case, there's plenty. And so, again, this is not about abridging the First Amendment. The First Amendment protects the people from the government. Twitter is a private platform. Doesn't apply there. Even the press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, got that wrong. I'm not trying to take away anyone's First Amendment right. But there are limits to what speech can do. Famously, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater.
So Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey has said in the past that Trump's Twitter account is important because it lets citizens hear from their leader. So isn't this kind of the ultimate transparency into the president's thoughts?
Yes, it is. And also, Jack Dorsey should have mentioned how much profit Twitter keeps from, you know, having Trump on their platform. I'm perfectly happy to have him try to go over the heads of the media and speak to his base and the people that he wants to. My concern is over accidentally inciting a nuclear exchange.
Can you talk a little bit more about your background in nonproliferation and, I guess, give us a grounding in why this is so concerning to you? Because looking at it from the outside, is like, oh, these guys are just posturing. We don't know. Are they just, is it just saber rattling? We do have nuclear weapons or saber rattling. Why are you concerned? Mm-hmm.
Well, with the CIA, I worked on nuclear counterproliferation. Essentially, that means making sure that rogue nation states or terrorists or black marketeers do not get a nuclear capability. I love my job. I was really proud to serve my country. It all ended rather abruptly when senior White House officials in the Bush administration leaked my name. But I have continued to be passionate about this issue because it goes back to what I just said. No matter what issue you care about, you don't get this one right, nothing else matters.
Could you say a little bit more about our current state in the international arena in terms of nuclear weapons and proliferation, why perhaps you feel this is such a dangerous time?
Of course. Look, through the Cold War, we prevented a nuclear exchange because of the MAD doctrine, mutually assured destruction. But we really just got lucky. There are dozens of near accidents. Our nuclear weapons are still on hair trigger alert. We still have a launch on warning policy, which means if the president is told that there may be an incoming nuclear strike, he can retaliate right away, even though, of course, there have been incidents where those were mistakes. And finally, there is a whole issue that how our policy around the nuclear command and control structure has evolved since the very beginning of the atomic age is concerning. It's very antithetical to democracy. There are no checks and balances. There is only one individual who has the sole authority to launch our nuclear arsenal, and that would be the president. That's a problem. I mean, it doesn't go through the Supreme Court. It's not the Secretary of Defense. It's not Congress. This is really deeply concerning when you think about the idea that one person, and this one person right now is someone with a temperament that is inconsistent, to say the least, has the sole authority to launch a nuclear weapon and potentially kill millions of people within minutes. Think about that. That is an awesome destructive power. And we've given it to one individual.
So do you hope that more people will be aware of things like this because of this campaign?
Yes. Yes, indeed. That's the whole point of this. I've just been increasingly uncomfortable with the president's tweets. Again, I mean, my passion happens to be nuclear issue, but across the board, I don't like them. But on the nuclear issue, this should not be a partisan issue. This is an issue that would deeply affect all of us. This is no time to use 140 characters to launch a nuclear attack.
I have heard our former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, who's done a number of diplomatic trips to North Korea, say, people can't really figure out what this new leader wants, which was sobering, considering how often he's gone there.
Yeah, North Korea, I think it's fair to say that it is a cult masquerading as a state. Their number one goal is regime stability and survival. I'm with my friend and my hero, former Defense Secretary William Perry, who has said, look, you know, more sanctions are not really useful. Just turning to China and saying you deal with it is not sufficient. and a military option would be disastrous. The only way that we can get to some semblance of stability in the region is through direct talks with North Korea alongside South Korea, Japan, and China. Diplomacy is the only way to proceed. We don't have another choice. Unfortunately, the State Department is being gutted, so our resources are thinner than usual. But the military option would just be horrific. There is no such thing as a regional nuclear war.
Even $1 billion won't get you a controlling stake in Twitter. So what are your plans if you do raise this amount?
Yes, it is indeed an ambitious goal. My thinking is to shine a spotlight on Trump and his very dangerous tweets that, in fact, are undermining our national security. And also, I want to give people the sense that they don't just have to sit on the sidelines when this happens, when this is escalating. $1 billion, whole bunch of money, still only buys, I think, 8% of Twitter. So maybe Twitter's a little overvalued. But anyway, but it certainly would get us heard at a shareholders meeting, and maybe there's a lot of media around this. So maybe the executives will rethink exactly how they want their rules and regulations to read.
Shareholder activism is not always very successful. I mean, would you look to promote more media around it, maybe find other like-minded shareholders and band together?
This has just got going. We're just getting started. By the way, I do need to say that I'm not personally profiting from this. Every penny will go to Global Zero. They are leading the resistance in preventing a nuclear war, as well as ultimately eliminating nuclear weapons from the planet.
You mean if you don't raise enough to buy the Twitter shares?
Right. Okay. Where does the money go? The money goes to Global Zero. So, yes, we're all scrambling as fast as we can to figure out how to best leverage this.
This would be the largest crowdfunding goal ever, apparently. Do you think you'll hit your goal?
Well, since I did not win the Powerball and I can't give to Global Zero, I'm sure as hell going to give it my best shot with this.
On a slightly lighter topic, I wanted to ask you if you're still doing spy thrillers. You're still in the novelist gig.
I've been busy lately. I've got to go back to it. Vanessa Pearson, we literally left her hanging in my last novel. She just got out of a Turkish jail. So I got to get back to that. And I'm working on some other TV projects, all fun. But I always have the thread of espionage and, if I can, include a nuclear aspect to it, just to let people know this is a really serious threat.
So you're hitting that education on all levels right
I know.
Now.
They're going to have their vegetables, whether they like it or not.
Thank you so much, Valerie. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was Valerie Plame talking about her crowdsource campaign to raise $1 billion to buy up shares of Twitter and force the company to ban President Donald Trump from the platform. You can hear this interview again at KUNM.org. For Women's Focus, I'm Megan Kamrick.